Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Everyone has that one goal, that thing they want to prove, not to other people, but to themselves. Then right when you think you could actually do it, cancer. And that goal is still within reach. I would know. I'm about to run my first ever marathon with my two best friends. 3 years after having cancer.
At least we look good in these shorts.
Woo! Let's get it, guys. You, keep making plans.
Visit ohiohealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, and credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a round of Eat Your Feelings and totally topical TiVo trivia time today. And now, since Cosby's in jail, he's now America's dad. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend, man. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Douche, douche, asshole, douche.
I was talking to Gerges about where Cosby was going. You know, for me...
Hell.
Yeah. I knew that. I set myself up for that one. Now, for me... Thank you. I want to know if you're going to where Martha Stewart went. Lots of picnic tables and grass.
Racquetball courts.
You're going into the hole. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you say?
It's a big difference to me if you're going to spend 3 years, you'll probably end up spending 3 years, whatever the minimum, you know, he'll be a model citizen and a prisoner and blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, no, he's going to the regular federal penitentiary. Like,
damn.
It's going to be regular. He'll be on, like, suicide watch for, like, the first 3 days, you know, when he's staying at the place before they transfer you. And then you're just going right in with the regular dudes.
Damn.
Well, not only damn, but remember, some of these guys were 11 when Bill was telling them to pull up their pants and speak English.
Right, yeah. Oh, got a bone to pick.
So now this guy who told them to speak English and pull up their pants.
He's not going into Gen Pop.
That's what I'm thinking. Gerges probably has something to say about that, right? Where he's housed.
Protected.
No, but the thing about still. not going... No, he'll probably, because of his health issues and because of his age, he'll be in that ward. But anyone who's seen Pepillon knows what goes on in that ward.
It only gets so good.
Yeah, I've said it many times. Rich man, poor man, mosquito net. It's either a great thing or the worst. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
It's not part of the middle...
Five-star resort or...
Yeah, like the middle class doesn't have a lot of experience with mosquito nets. Yeah. You got to be real poor or real rich. Like, right. You have a see-through floor where you can see clownfish going by. That's a mosquito net place. Or you're on Devil's Island with Pepillon.
And Cosby now.
All right, I want to thank Quicken Loans for this half of the show. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Ace. The Neighborhood premieres Monday, 8 o'clock, CBS. Tell you about that in a second. Castrol Challenge. You can tweet us your questions at Castrol Challenge, #Castrol Challenge. and Robinhood. Go to CorollaRobinhood.com. Tell you about that. So Gina's made some beautiful fare. She's going to bring it. It's the
smell it wafting through the halls.
It's very savory. I'm excited. So we're going to do a Eat Your Feelings segment. We'll take some calls. I got some ideas about the Twilight Zone that I've been thinking about for a while. The Eating Your Feelings, Gina.
Yes.
What is it that you prepared this time?
Today I have prepared a savory, succulent turkey, ground turkey, and bacon chili. Paleo
lentil chili. Lentil chili?
Got that intro going?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I jumped to it.
I love it so much.
I jumped to it too quick. I was just, I'll buy you a second.
Okay. Yeah, I love making chili. Chili's like my favorite thing to make.
I have said.
What a coincidence. My favorite thing, one of the favorite things to eat.
I love it. I've said many times, there's a huge difference between not stealing money from people, like not saying, oh my God, that person's walking alone. I'm going to hit them on the head. I'm going to take their pocketbook or their wallet or whatever it is. That's a no non-starter for 99% of the population, thankfully. But finding a $100 bill on the ground and then doing the right thing. Like, I'll walk it over to a local business and ask if that's a much taller order.
Yeah.
And trying to stick with the paleo stuff and do the right thing, that's kind of doable for me. But you do understand that when I come home Sunday night after watching football and Lynette and the kids walk through the door, they bought an extra In-N-Out burger for me.
That was
nice. Now I'm in my kitchen and they have...
Yeah.
Not only would it be rude to say no, it would be wasteful.
That was nice. Tell me if Lynette pulls up.
She'll be here soon. She'll be here soon.
It was nice, except for she said, I said, well, you got me In-N-Out burger. And she went, yeah. I said, oh, good, double-double. And she went, no, I just got the one Sonny gets. Is it the single patty with
the plain?
No onion and no tomato, no cheese? And she's like, yeah, I just told Sonny, just get another one of yours. So the next morning, this is why these are the conversations you have when you're married. The next morning, I said, hey, just FYI, if you're going by In-N-Out and you want to grab me a burger, double-double, everything on it, that's the way I like it. She said, I figured you ate dinner already.
Okay.
And I said, okay. But on the... Now, you're sure you got to start worrying. Are we going to... Okay, shall we go there? I kind of...
if you, in fact, thought.
I possibly did, but possibly I didn't, and on the off chance that I didn't, just for the future.
Just assume.
We'll go, put me down for a double-double with everything on it. Yeah, I figured you ate.
And as perfect as Lynette is in my eyes and in so many eyes, I am so obsessed with that kind of thing, like there not being enough food. When I just went home and threw this big party for my mom's birthday, and the caterer called me, the restaurant called me twice and said, I don't think you understand. I would love to take your money, but you have ordered too many hors d'oeuvres. And I said, ma'am, we're Jews. This is how we do it. This is how it's going to go down. There has to be enough. I will be mortified if people are standing around an empty hors d'oeuvre table.
This was just too much than too little.
It was more of just of a little bit of a disconnect in logic, perhaps, or maybe arguing both sides of the argument. But either way, I just wanted to make it clear that in the future, I like the double-double with everything on it. You'll never offend me. Now, I think you were going to eat. Okay. Now, I came home last night again. I'm staying with the diet. I came home last night. Everyone is eating pot stickers, like beef pot stickers, which is amazing because normally they're like chicken or vegetable or whatever, which is good, or pork, which is good, but beef pot stickers, good beef pot stickers, and rice with the sauce on like the dipping sauce on it, and everyone is knee deep. And I come walking through the door, and I look at all of it, and I go, oh, because pot stickers are so good.
Oh, yeah.
And these are big. These are like the oversized ones. And I go, And Lynette goes, well, have some pot stickers. And I go, I can. I'm on my diet. This is fine.
Oh, great then.
Horns, pitchfork.
It's not. You guys don't. It is. Look, if you live alone and you don't bring home any pot stickers, you can make it. Yeah. And you don't drive by that In-N-Out. But man, when it comes walking, when you walk through the door
presented
and it's wafting
yes.
at you, and there's three, four people just noshing their brains out, going, "Have a cup. What's wrong? What are you talking
Come on.
About?" And you're just standing there.
Yeah.
It is the difficulty factor gets so much higher.
I learned this back when Matt Atchley explained.
Kid food is good.
Kid food
and it's
is
there.
Good.
Yeah.
And Lynette will not put an ounce on. God bless her, she tries. It's like that. And then at night, it's a sack of pita chips with the salsa and everything. And I'm like, and I just look at her and go, oh. She go, have some. And I go, cannot. All right. So you made, and there's somebody. Yeah. Conveniently named Dylan, who wants to make the case for a margarita pizza.
Good luck.
I believe that's all the name. The slice of tomato on a pizza is one of the worst things you can do to a pizza for me. It's just hot tomato that's bleeding out.
Watery.
And it's already covered with tomato paste, like sauce.
Let's talk to Dylan or let's look it up. Does the margarita pizza have sliced tomato? I thought it was the tomato sauce, the melted burrata, and the
basil.
The basil. Yeah, the
and maybe it doesn't
basil.
Have to have sliced tomato.
Oh, this could be worse than I thought. I think Lynette may add the tomato to the worst. I feel like I've seen sliced tomatoes on a margarita. Maybe I'm wrong. Dylan?
Yes. After having lived in Italy for a short period of time, I can promise you there are no slices of tomatoes on a margarita pizza.
Oh, Lynette adds them to her margarita pizza, which is...
That's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Well, that's an American thing that they do because when they list... Yes, in Italy, when they list the ingredients, it's just tomato, cheese, and basil. And so they come over here assuming that the sauce is already an ingredient, just like the bread that's not listed, and then add tomato on top of it.
Oh, so it is... When you order from an American place a margarita pizza, it will come with a tomato slice in some cases, I guess.
Well, if it's run by a proper Italian, probably not, because
right, but
any Italian would never do that. It's actually called a caprese pizza. It has extra tomato on it. It's a totally different pizza.
All right. But if you go Pizza Hut margarita pizza,
yeah.
you'll probably get a slice of tomato.
Domino.
Yeah. Max Powell gets a bomb.
Yeah,
all right, make your case for it, because I feel like you're adding two things that don't really add anything to a pizza, but go ahead.
Hold on, what do you make the case for? For what?
For
margarita pizza.
Traditional Italian margarita pizza.
Oh, it's just tomato sauce, mozzarella, and basil on top of it.
No, we get that, but make the case. Sell it to us.
All right, it's just basil.
I was defending the name.
Hold on. You've just landed a piece of basil on a piece of cheese pizza, which is fine, but it's neither here nor there. When, in a world where you can get meatballs and sausage yeah. and peppers and onion and that stuff.
It's kind of like I was watching one of those cooking shows, not Iron Chef, but like one of those Top Chef or whatever it was years ago. And at one point, like Tom Colicchio was like, just make me an omelet. Make me a kick-ass omelet. Obviously, these are all accomplished chefs who are trying to like reach that like superstar level. But like the margarita pizza is like the omelet of pizzas. Like,
the simplicity.
You need to make the kick-ass basic pizza, and then you can do all the fanciness you want. But like you got to make that kick-ass pizza.
Dylan?
Yeah, okay. So I understand your question now, what you want me to do. So when they prepare it in Italy, it's like slabs of mozzarella. So it's the cheese does not cover the entire pizza. It's placed in very specific spots and usually have, you know, one full piece on a slice wherever it is. And then there is basil. I don't think they usually do a whole leaf. Usually it's kind of maybe chopped up or shredded. But it's the concentration of the flavors, especially if you get the bufala mozzarella. That's a totally different thing from a different region of Italy, and it's really good. And it's just...
When were you in Italy? And let me say this. I will add to the group of guys I can't hang with, the guys who went and go, oh, in Tokyo, their sushi is
you haven't even had
nothing
sushi.
Nothing
like.
You haven't
had sushi.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're eating American.
Yeah, you think so you've
no,
had it.
No, you fill in the blank of the city or the country, and then I get to be the fucking de facto expert in the room about because I've been there and you've never been. And that's when I do the surprise. You've been to Tokyo?
No, I actually never traveled there myself.
You've not been?
No, I've never actually traveled.
So never?
There. No, never once. To
Tokyo?
Never to any city in Japan, actually, no.
Including Tokyo?
I think I was clear about that. No, never once to
Tokyo. So you've not been?
I've not ever been to Tokyo.
Okay. So I'm the fucking brain in this room, but and I'm telling
sushi.
You.
I love sushi.
Well, what you call sushi.
I call it sushi because it's sushi.
They would spit it out into their hand and then throw it at you.
In Tokyo? You,
yes.
Well, I've never been.
Have you been?
I've never been.
Never been?
Never once.
Never once?
Not ever once.
Did you see that movie Lost in Translation?
I did. It's at
Have you ever been there?
No, not the place where it's
never?
Set. No, never once.
Never been?
No, never once.
Okay, so I'm going to wax on about sushi because I get to be the fucking expert.
Oh, I love sushi.
For the next hour. Yeah. Well, it's not really sushi what you're eating.
It's cute.
You love
it's cute.
Something the Americans call sushi.
We should add that guy to Hypothetical Road Trip.
You've been, you know how Gino Vannelli's been living inside himself?
Sure. Oh,
you've course. Been living a sushi lie. Oh,
wow. Wow.
All right. So, Dylan, sorry.
You were saying? Yes,
I lived in Sicily, it was about 3 years ago, for a few months.
Right. I wish it worked that way with, like, I don't know, Valley Village. Like, I know everything about Valley Village. I'm the king of Valley Village.
I know broken bottles.
My dad lived there.
I know overturned shopping carts, okay?
Yeah. Becky Ann, you think she's hot? Where's she from? Valley Village. She's not. I banged her.
Ooh, she's a Valley Village 10.
So, you live there. Why did you live there?
Volunteer work.
Oh, now you're still better than us. Yeah. See, things going up.
You can't
give
stop.
A guy an inch.
Chasing a nickel does not get you any right. any currency here. But volunteer
being,
work sounds
Nigerian
good.
Nigerian refugees.
Oh. Oh God, now we feel like assholes.
And now you're in New Jersey.
Yes, sir.
What were you going there like a Mormon missionary or something? What were you doing there? I mean, why?
Close. I am one of Jehovah's Witnesses. So.
Oh.
Very very similar. Situation.
And you said you were in Sicily or Italy?
Sicily. Yeah, hey, good job, Gina. Sicilians do not consider themselves Italian.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Nice.
Big fan of The Godfather.
What are you doing now, Dylan?
I live in New Jersey, run a small business. I install tile for a living.
Oh, now we're talking.
Now we're on the same page.
You can stay.
What size notch trowel do you like? Like an eighth inch shred, quarter inch shred? What are we talking about?
3/8 by a quarter is the kind of the standard go to.
Uh huh.
Square.
Uh huh. You mix a little acrylic in with that thin set, do you?
Hell no. You just buy the proper stuff.
Wow.
Well, I like to add the acrylic, bro.
You buy unmodified senses and then add acrylic modifiers to it?
Those I'm old school. Words. You know how you get a regular pizza and fuck it up by putting slabs of buffalo mozzarella on it?
Oh, you're off base on that
That's
one.
What nice. I do with acrylic and
Shots
my thin
fired.
Set. I already had this argument with Lynette before I left.
So I'm primed.
All right, so you're doing... I think we can agree on how far spacers have come in the last few years. They've really had some breakthroughs with tile spacers.
Oh, big time, especially when it comes to the anti-lippage stuff, where it's a built-in spacer, and then you use the wedge to bring tiles in the plane with each other, because they're so big, you can't
Corolla's
do that
excited.
It's difficult.
Yeah. I'll bust out the wet saw, you butter up the back.
I never thought I'd say this, but can we talk about pizza some more?
All right, thanks, John. That was all hot tile talk for me. Yeah.
Scorching.
That wet saw, boy, it is... It's the only saw that I would call refreshing.
We're still doing this.
It's an actual wet saw.
It's a smooth diamond blade, so it's not that scary. It water starts spraying, and you just... And it cuts tile, and it sprays a little mist of water on your fingers, and it's not that loud, and it's nice.
I don't even remember this, but I actually helped you cut with the wet tile when you cut the mantelpiece for your Malibu house fireplace. So I had a pickup truck, and I had to bring it from this shop to your, bring it to your Malibu.
Was worst.
Brian, yeah, now that was me putting a diamond blade on a circular saw and spraying water on it, de facto sort of making it a wet saw, but that's not a wet saw.
Like
haven't seen a wet saw.
No, he was a part of it. He was a very important part of, here, hold this.
Hold this. Don't stand too close.
Spray the water on the fucking blade, not my head, you idiot. But yes, you were going to cut... Yep. Stone, spray water, spray.
All right.
Yeah, keeps the dust down, too. All right, let's see. We got to eat your feelings.
Yes.
She could not stop eating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Betty helped her. Lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night. And ever since then, her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
Today, I'm, you know, you talked about the lentil chili. It made me angry. I don't want to eat that either, but I couldn't stop thinking about chili after you said that. So I had to make it. So I found a great recipe, laurafuentes.com. We'll put that on the website. And I made a ground turkey because I prefer it. Ground turkey and bacon, beanless paleo chili. And I pretty much followed her recipe this time. I like to branch off, but the only things I changed is I subbed out ground beef for ground turkey. I added bacon. I cooked the turkey and the veggies in the bacon fat. And I added a very small amount of cubes of butternut squash just to see what would happen. But it's neither here nor there. And
it
was really easy.
I have not sampled it yet.
All right, let's see what you think.
I would like to be dazzled.
I hope you are. It's very,
in real time.
I must say.
I don't want to sway
Adam,
your opinion, but I just tasted during the song. Gina, it's by far my favorite thing that you've made in the entire run
goodness.
Of the segments. Not only that, the smart move cooking the turkey in the bacon juice because it adds turkey can be a little drier than ground beef. It makes it nice and juicy.
It plumps it back up, makes it a little smokier.
Bacon is the eraser that corrects all mistakes. I'll go on a limb and say that it doesn't need the bacon. It would be that good without it. Bacon is wonderful.
Thank you. I just added it just for some fun.
It is hearty and delicious.
And it was pretty easy. I just browned and seasoned the meat. I cooked the veggies. I added a low-sugar paste and some diced tomatoes, and I brought it to a boil, and it simmered for 20 minutes, and there's your chili.
It is scrum-delicious.
Thank you.
And think about what we know now versus what we thought then. And what if somebody presented this to you when you're in the height of your snack wells phase and all this, no, you want to lower your cholesterol. You can't eat fat.
Yeah.
The fat goes right to your heart.
Yeah,
no,
this wouldn't have been allowed.
Look, you stay away from the cheese. Stay away from the dairy. Stay away from the meat.
You
stay away from the protein. Not bacon. No. You
not
can have some dry wheat toast. We can put some margarine spray.
You can add some brown rice if you want to bulk it up.
We have a spray that simulates butter that'll work.
You can't believe it.
It's made with, it's made with corn oil, so it's good for you. Like, if someone would have presented this to you a few years ago as, good luck, you're on a diet? Yeah. Well, here you go. You would have went, no, this is the opposite of the diet.
That doesn't make any sense.
Which means we were totally flipped over a few years ago.
Yep.
And anyone who's scared, you should be scared when somebody says, look, you're going to be eating those rice puff patties in jicama, and that's it. Well, then go ahead and be scared. But if you're going to be eating this,
that's wonderful
for a diet.
Thank you.
Man, dig in.
Sprinkle a little bit of chives on top or something like that, and it's perfection.
I did forget chives. But for veggies, it's carrots, onions, celery, zucchini, and a little bit of squash.
Butternut squash?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's excellent. Good job.
It is very good. And where do we find it?
It will be at the Adam Carolla website, adamcarolla.com. This is Eat Your Feelings installment number 5. And I based this recipe on one post at laurafuentes.com, and our link will be on there.
Well, thanks, man. You did a great job.
Thank you.
A picture this morning of the meatball casserole.
Oh, the original.
Harken back to how good that was.
Good.
All right, let's bring it home.
Gina's recipe.
Also makes me remember how much I love that song.
That's such a good one.
All right, let me tell you about The Neighborhood. Premieres Monday, October 1st. Is it this Monday? Wait a minute, where are we? Yeah. On CBS, 8 o'clock Eastern and Pacific, 7 Central. Go to cbs.com/shows for The Neighborhood or facebook.com/TheNeighborhoodCBS for interviews, trailers, and behind-the-scenes clips. Star and executive producer, Cedric the Entertainer. The entertainment is right in his name, people. Max Greenfield plays Dave Johnson, a super friendly guy who wants to help his pals with his new neighbor in his new neighborhood, Calvin Butler. That's Cedric the Entertainer, but Calvin's not interested. Loosely based on executive producer Jim Reynolds' experience moving into a traditionally black L.A. neighborhood. Premieres Monday, October 1st, CBS, 8 Eastern and Pacific, and 7 o'clock in the Central Time. That's The Neighborhood. All right, so I was, we'll take some calls. I had a, I've had this thing that's been rolling around in my brain for a while, which is I think about all these folks in our new sort of witch hunt world order, and not the Bill Cosbys and not the Harvey Weinsteins, but more the Ben Afflecks and the other people that pipe up or say something or defend somebody or do something, and they just get drawn and quartered in the center of town as well. And I started thinking about that Twilight Zone episode being with the Billy Mummy.
It's a good life.
It's called It's a Good Life.
Wishing into the cornfield.
Wishing in a cornfield. But I never listened to it. It just was in my head. Like, yeah, oh,
zeitgeist,
yeah. Yeah. And I thought, I'll play a minute and 40 seconds of it.
That's a good one.
I forgot he went on to do Lost in Space. Mm-hmm. But it's this kid, and it's a whole group of people, and it's basically, this kid will destroy you. And so the whole group of people, instead of standing up for what's right or saying, wait a minute, I don't think Al Franken is a rapist. They instead, this guy will turn
you're
on
right,
you.
You're right, Billy. You're right.
Right.
And also, who's Al Franken? Never mind.
Right. So just watch it and just see if it feels like, oh, you're Matt Damon or even Aziz Ansari or Chris Hardwick or something. They got wished into the cornfield.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
You think that? Go ahead, Anthony. I'm a very bad man. Keep thinking that. Somebody sneak up behind him. Somebody end this now while he's thinking about me. Would somebody take a lamp or a bottle or something and end this?
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man. And you keep thinking bad thoughts about me.
It's turned into a jackbox.
Wish it into the cornfield. Please, son, wish it into the cornfield, please.
Goes into the cornfield.
He was a bad man, so I turned him into a jack-in-the-box. A jack-in-the-box that still had his bad face. And you mustn't think bad thoughts about me either, or I'll do the same thing to you.
Yeah, Matt Damon.
Play some more music.
You've done a bad thing.
It's good what you've done to Dan.
It's good.
It's real good.
It was swell. It was just swell. It was really good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They did that one, the 80s reboot, too.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. The one with John Lithgow.
That was the craziest. Oh, was that the movie?
Yeah, it was like four different
vignettes.
Oh,
that was the Vic Moore incident.
That's a Vic Moore, thank God. Ugh.
Right, right.
It's a crazy thing. Vic Moore, who's a medium to large size actor at that period, is carrying two kids mm-hmm. and just becomes eviscerated by a helicopter blade that was just sort of hit him and them at some sort of angle that was like insane.
It's hard to believe that happened in like the modern era.
Also, if you were there, if you were on that set,
oh yeah,
I don't know what you would have found of him or and the kids. I mean, you want to talk about post-traumatic stress? If you're mom or the crew or the whoever,
that
just
was
around
a huge budget movie with a big John Landis, I'm pretty sure, and pretty sure about that. We're gonna look that up. But they it was a huge set. It was the middle of the night. They were all shooting, and they had to shut down production immediately. They just sent everyone home. Great. I mean, God, the stories. Can you imagine?
Yeah, as I recall, they were there were explosions going off, and it knocked the sort of helicopter off keel, and the thing tilted, and they didn't want to use dummies or whatever. Yeah.
And there was some sort of situation where someone wasn't licensed or doing they were using the kid actors too long. There was a whole years of lawsuits,
and he was brought up on like manslaughter charges
John
and
Landis?
Stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, there was a criminal case brought against him, I think, as well. All right,
but Matt Damon.
We got a phone call up here. Randy, 62, San Diego.
Adam, how are you? Love your show.
Thanks. Thanks for listening.
Hey, you know, I hear you complaining about your dad quite a bit, but I think I've got you beat.
It's been 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, my dad was a manager of a defunct chain called Montgomery Wards.
Sure.
Of course.
Everyone remembers that, Montgomery Wards.
This is the cheapest dad in the world story. What he would do was he would get returns of broken toys, and he would keep them and wrap them up and give them to us as gifts.
Oh, no.
Hmm. Now,
like
for Christmas, birthdays, and that kind of stuff?
Christmas, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give us some examples.
So I had a slot car set, for example, that he gave me. And what would happen, remember how it had the plungers on it? Well, if you held both plungers...
Oh, sorry, they're holding the grip with the pistol, the trigger on it. Yes, go ahead. Or sometimes with your thumb and sometimes with your trigger finger.
Right, these were with your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
If you pressed them both, you got a shock.
It is
great.
Listen, getting, you know, people talk about that sort of bad luck, you know, short straw where you get the poor parents. Mm-hmm. Cheap parents are worse than parents. Because no one is, in modern times, is so poor that you can't go out to eat or that it's self-imposed, especially nowadays when you can go to Target and get anything for $10 or whatever. It's all this, it's more of a sort of poor mindset, and it's a kind of an emotional thing rather than it's an actual practical, pragmatic, whatever. Yeah. And also,
and this doll wasn't missing an eye. This physically hurt the child using it.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's funny, but sad and funny. I remember I was thinking about my dad the other day when he's trying to get me to buy him a lounge chair or something now.
Yeah,
he's aiming high.
He downgraded from the car.
I was thinking it's weird.
Start somewhere, Gina.
But anyway, he doesn't have any money. But the thing that I remember very clearly is when we lived in our first apartment, when he moved out in an apartment on Laurel Canyon, one bedroom. It was right on the street. I always hate that. It was like a kind of a first story. It wasn't a two-story building. It was a single story, almost kind of like a bungalow, but it was just right on the street, like right off the sidewalk on Laurel Canyon. Laurel's busy and cars be going back and forth. And you hear people like walking up the down the street drunk all the time and yelling at people and stuff like that. I hate it. And eventually we got a big upgrade. We got to go from the front unit to the back upstairs unit in the same building with the same crappy green shag.
And, to the backyard.
And I was like, I was super strong and super like physical when I was like 10. And I was just like moving all day and carrying boxes and books and boxes and boxes of books and moving everything. And I just busted my hump for like 8 hours. And at the end of the day, he gave me $1.
Oh.
And he said, but this is a good dollar.
No, oh, Jesus.
Like, you
Christ.
Earned a good dollar. Like, you should be happy with this. Like,
that's so
I'd rather have
abusing.
$20 that did time or was abusive to its kids or, you
Aren't
know.
Those ill-gotten gains?
Look down on change. Yeah.
discriminated against.
Smash got the electronics store. You're trying to buy like a Walkman. Like, oh, but there's a good dollar.
It's a good dollar. You don't understand.
Upstanding.
I know that thing says $39, but it's not worth one good dollar. Now, $39 is so fair to middling
dollar.
What
would you rather have?
I just remember, being like 10 going, you cheap fuck. Like we were kind of doing this on the honor system, which is I wasn't going to work it out with you in advance. Like how much?
Right.
I was just going to kick ass. Yeah. Like I was going to break a sweat. Every time you saw me, I was going to be trotting up those stairs with more than two boxes. Like I was going to prove to you how good I did. And it was kind of like, I'm not going to tell you how much this shoe shine is. I'm just going to give you the best shoe shine you've ever had. And at the end, you're going to be blown away.
Yeah, you'll want to hand it over.
He just gave me a dollar.
Oh my God.
And we're thinking, fuck, this is going to be a long life. Because when you're at the mercy of it, you are fucked. Yeah. Like when you're 10, you're like, oh, great. I got a good 8 or 9 years of this to look forward to. Thank God I was a horrible student, so it balanced out nicely. Randy?
Yes.
You're now, did yeah, your I, dad, I don't know how long he lived. The problem with my family.
He's still alive.
Wow, okay. The problem with my family is they're all super cheap. They're all super low mileage, and they're all getting into their 80s, have gone into their 80s or 90s, and they never had any money, and they're all out of stuff.
Oy.
And so now the guy who got the good dollar in 1978, it's incumbent upon him to pick up the pieces, except for I'm not as inclined to do it because of the good dollar.
Yeah. Give him a good patio chair.
Are your
children's book?
Yes.
Well, I grew up wondering why I was such a bad kid that all my toys were broken.
Oh my God!
But Jesus. Randy, I hope you realize you've turned into a bad adult now. You're no longer a child. Now, how are you?
That's
now, are you cheap? This is the part that drives me nuts. If you're cheap with your kids or your family or whatever, then chain and cycle not broken.
I am very generous with my daughter and my wife.
I have what
she gets Tiffany.
I have what I like to call a lose-lose relationship with my former cheapness and my situation now, which is I see my family throw money away on nothing and I'm horrified by it, but I still pay for it in full. So it's kind of emotionally, I'm devastated, but practically it's still costing me retail.
It all evens out.
Yeah. I mean, when somebody orders room service or something and then like eats like three fries and goes, I'm done. I'm like, no.
That's money right there.
No, we shouldn't even be ordering. Nobody orders room. You don't order room service, but if you do.
You better eat it.
You eat everything. Yeah. That was the grace. Has Lynette pulled in yet? Oh, man. That champagne story.
Yeah.
That is the best.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I pulled into that casino, and they're like, it was New Year's Eve. I was doing shows in, like, Reno or something, and they were like, would you like some champagne? Because it's, you know, New Year's Eve, and you're checking in at 5 o'clock. And Lynette's like, no. And I was like, I'll have hers and mine. And I, like, walked back to the room, and they're like, oh, and here's your $100 worth of casino bucks. You can use it at the store, use it wherever you want. I'm like, okay. Get back to the room. Lynette announces, I'm in the mood for some champagne.
Oh, timely.
Well, it just was at the countertop. The guy was handing out flutes. Yeah, I know. I think that's probably what got me into it, you know? I said, okay.
Suggestible.
That's good. She said, okay. Anyway, I'm going to go to the store and get a few things for the kids, and then I'll come back. All right. Went to the store, bought the mini bottle of the Veuve Clicquot or whatever. Yeah.
It's one of the best value in the casino.
And I said, how much was that?
The $85 split.
Yeah, it was like a miniature. Yeah. It was like $42 or something for half a bottle of Veuve Clicquot, you know, cheapo, whatever. And I said, where'd you get that? He's like, I got it at the store. I'm like, well, they're giving away champagne 10 feet away at the counter. Yeah, I just got the bottle. Okay. But you spent the casino bucks on the bottle, right? No, I just bought it. Okay.
Happy New Year.
I guess I'm going to need a glass to cut the edge. She poured me a glass. I set it on the arm of my chair, and then she knocked it over.
Oh.
I It's like, okay, now we're down to three glasses. And so I think one glass. She poured herself a glass. She had to draw off it and set it down. And at a certain point, we're walking out of the door and like, we're going to go eat. And I saw the glass like sitting by the door. No. And I was like, hold on, drink that glass. And she's like, I'm good.
It's not easy to tell you.
Drink it. You drink that glass. You do it now. So happy, it's kind of the word. It's kind of lose-lose because it's all the weird emotional baggage of the past. Could you imagine your folks engaging in that dance? No. Right.
No.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Well, there's win-win, and then there's this. What choice do I have at that point? I have to yell, drink it.
Yep. Just on cost,
Randy. Sorry.
Yes, I'm
still
here.
There. Yeah. So is your dad doing okay financially, or does he need you to help out?
I help him out,
Do me a favor. Yeah. If he wants, like, a walker, get him a stroke cane with a little 9-volt battery hooked up at the base and a little electrode at the top. Yeah. And whenever he puts pressure on
it,
a mild jolt of electricity will pass through his right hand.
That sounds fair.
That does sound fair.
Yeah.
And you're never too old to learn a valuable lesson.
Let's put that to the test. 85-year-old dad.
All right. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge. Tweet me at Adam Carolla Show with a hashtag Castrol Challenge for your question for your Castrol Challenge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction. Maximizes engine performance. Three times, fool! Stronger against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetics. Castrol Edge, you got a question, Max Pata?
Yep, at Philoman wants to know on Instagram, what's Ace's favorite race car, and what is that race car's setup? Twin turbos, etc.? Let me know. Hashtag Castrol Challenge.
We are, as we speak, loading up a twin turbo 935 into a trailer and driving it to Laguna Seca, Pebble Beach, and when I got there, the fuel pump had failed, and then the new fuel pump had failed, and it's just, speaking of wiring, biggest waste of money in the world, having to change out fuel pumps and God knows what else, but hopefully we got that car figured out, and it's literally getting packed up, along with all the spares and all the stuff, and heading to Laguna Seca for Rennsport, biggest Porsche event in the world. And I like that car the best because there is something about a Porsche that is different. They do have things figured out, and they do things that are sort of weird, but very Porsche, like the key on the left and starting the car with the key, which you don't do with any other race cars. And the brand and the unmistakable shape of that car, that even though all these years that they've had that car, a 911 starting in like 1966, probably 65, 66, somewhere in there, at 50 some odd years later, you still know what it is. You can still see the shape of it. I think always the brand are the cornerstone of a great brand. It's like knowing, you know what it is.
Pick it out.
Versus to people like, we're going with something else. Yeah. Like we're Johnny come lately. It always kind of freaked me out, is too strong a word, but like whenever I see like Jack in the Box commercials and they're like, we got taquitos. I'm always like, I don't know. I do In and Out.
Yeah,
do what In and Out
does.
Like there's always a, oh, we got a veggie pot, you know, and we're doing salads.
Yeah.
And like, it always feels a little suspicious that they're doing something else. I'm much more apt taking my Jack in the Box versus In and Out thing to go, I'm going In and Out because I know what they do and they do it right.
Yep.
And I'll say that about Porsche, and I'll say that about Castrol Edge. Fluid titanium technology. It's in that car. Yeah, it's at the other shop. Ask Sean if that thing started. Did you get it going? I'm starting to worry a little bit now. They're always changing out fuel pumps every time I show up to that place. You want to talk about the ultimate waste of money? I left with everyone working on a car, and I realized, you want to know why it's super expensive? When your car starts failing, like a race car.
Because you got to 40-year-old car that you're trying to find parts for?
There's all of that stuff, and there's this stuff is insane, and they don't make parts, and blah blah blah. It's kind of nuts, but I'll tell you where it gets really expensive. When your car, your race car, fails, and you show up, and they're working on the race car, it's a 3-man job. One guy does the work. The other two guys stand there and look really concerned.
Mm, that's good.
When they get paid.
Yeah, it costs a lot.
So when you walk up, you go, what's going on? Two guys are concerned going, oh, man, Oof. We got a gasket problem. Maybe a problem with the pump. I don't know, but it's a problem. And it's like, the problem for me are the two guys standing around with their hands are on their hips. And they're going, we got a problem. Yeah. The one guy's under the car, and he's feverishly going at it, but it still takes two or three guys to gather around.
To hand ring.
And go, we got a problem.
One guy's getting paid by the frown. The other one's getting paid by the grimace.
That's right.
The tisk-tisk.
The tisk. But I pay him a good dollar, Brian. That's the thing.
Okay, we're good.
Jetson. Is that Jetson?
Yeah.
23, Seattle?
That's right.
Wow.
What's going on?
Not much. My question was for Brian. Mm-hmm. I know he lost a lot of weight back in the day, but he's also really into food and the seeker of pleasure. I was wondering how he balances keeping the weight off with all the food he likes to eat.
The show's reached a new low. We're talking about my diet now. Mm-hmm. This is it. Thank you for asking, Jesson. Yes, I did. In case people don't know, I lost 55 pounds at one point. Right around the time I was at Loveline, when we were working together. Loveline, screening calls. I do seek pleasure. I do enjoy the finer things in terms of food and stuff. Christy is always sort of leading. She's the tip of that spear. You know, she's like, oh, there's a new place we got to try. There's this blah, blah, blah we got to try. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Absolutely. I try to keep it really simple in the off hours, you know, breakfast and lunch. Breakfast is kind of the same thing every day. Egg, chicken sausage, maybe avocado if it's handy. Lunch is equally simple, whatever we kind of have left over or whatever we have around. I find that if I don't indulge a lot in the off hours, I can enjoy myself on the occasional weekend dinner. And I'm lucky enough that Christy is equally health conscious and, cooks amazing dinners in addition to that. So it's a lot of, it's just about moderation. If you're going to do those, you know, dinners once in a while, once a week, a couple times a month, whatever it is, space those out and, you know, balance the ledger with, you know, healthy eating in the other times. And then, you know, just don't overdo it. I don't drink soda. You guys have never seen me drink a regular soda. Mm. Every once in a while, maybe a diet, but that's rare. I don't do French fries or a lot of that savory stuff, sweets. I mean, I just don't.
You're married to a baker.
True.
That's tough.
But when the time comes, if you bake something,
you go for it.
Oh, yeah, that's the once in a while thing.
Well, Brian told me when he lost the weight initially, if you want to know how boring life is, but it always is. So we're always looking for this like quick path or how it works or what's going on. We're looking at a picture of Big Bald Brian.
Look at all three of you.
I think we're the same combined weight state.
So if you want to know, and I've had this happen, I have a buddy, Chris, not the Chris you guys know, but another Chris, did the same thing, lost a bunch of weight. It's always like, how did you lose weight? I stopped drinking so much soda. I started walking places. Like instead of driving, I would walk.
Take stairs.
Yep. And then I stopped drinking a bunch of soda. And it's the most boring advice ever, but that's how life works.
Let me write that down. Diet and exercise.
Life is super boring.
A big one. Yeah. I was, you know, I was poor and I was young, so I was eating fast food a lot, a couple times a week at least. Mm-hmm. And I have probably had a dozen fast food meals over the last decade. I just don't eat fast food that much.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's obvious stuff.
But if Christy walked through the door with In-N-Out Burgers.
I'm destroying it.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, there you go. It's boring.
It's boring. Extremely boring.
Right. But it's like you do want to enjoy yourself on a Saturday night. So you take it easy on the weekdays. Yep. And it's no good for selling books or being a guest on Oprah or any of that stuff. And as a matter of fact, most people don't like it. I could always remember when I was talking to my friends who'd be like, I'm going to quit smoking and I'm doing it January 1st, you know, and I'd go, how many cigarettes you smoke a day? And they go, I smoke 2 packs. And I'd go, why don't you smoke 1 pack? And they go,
come on.
Starting January 1st, I'm not smoking any packs. And I'd go,
talk to me about January 12th.
Yeah, I'd go, just, why don't you get it? What do you smoke, 20? They'd say, I smoke a pack a day. It's a 20 day. Okay. shoot for 15 tomorrow. See how that goes. Mom, I don't need to, because once January rolls around, I'd be like, well, just do 15 and see how that works. I mean, that's kind of life. I always say, and the Dr. Drew always hates this one, the reason I've not turned into a full-blown alcoholic is because I like alcohol too much.
Yes, I want to take that off the menu.
And if I started day drinking, or you guys were looking for me, where's Adam on the podcast? He's yelling at a bird in the street. then I would have to stop, because that would then mean I would need to stop.
You don't want to jeopardize your relationship with alcohol.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
It's a valuable relationship.
Yeah. So
hard-earned.
I go work all day, and then I go take the dog for a walk and pretend to listen to the kids. And at some point around 9:30 or 10 o'clock, I have a drink. But if we're going on a cruise, then give me a Bloody Mary at 9:45 in the morning.
Game
and
on.
We'll get back on track when we get back.
Yep.
That's if people sort of had that relationship with money, food, life, relationships, just sort of all facets of life, it's a better even life.
Yes.
It's less extremes and less highs and lows and
less drama.
Yes, it's sort of, and you going out for a treat on a Saturday night tastes better when you've deprived yourself a little bit during the week.
I realized, as you mentioned, drinking, another culprit, which I kind of stumbled, I realized later in life, in my early 20s, you know, I'd go out drinking with my friends or whatever, but, you know, just all the sugary drinks you drink in college, all the whatever, the margaritas that are not really margaritas, they're just the mix and the whatever, pina colada, whatever it is, that stuff adds up quick.
Remember Pucker?
Yeah, all the Kuipers, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, the watermelon, the Midori, all that shit that just was like, oh, have a kamikaze. It's like, all right. It's like, oh, it's just pure sugar.
Yeah, juice. Long Island iced tea.
Yep.
All right, let me tell you about Robin Hood, and then we'll get on with our lives here. Robin Hood, investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, options, cryptos, commission-free. Do it all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. No commission fees. No commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade. Keep all your profit. Easy to understand charts and market data. Place and trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Custom notifications for price movements. Never miss a moment to invest. Robinhood is giving my listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at Carolla, Carolla. You already knew that. Robinhood.com. That's Carolla.Robinhood.com. And get a free stock and get started. God love you.
I'm excited to do this.
You should.
I'm really excited to do this.
Good. Please keep us posted.
I will.
All right. We will take ourselves a break. We will do good sports. And then we'll come back with some totally topical TiVo trivia right after this. Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House, because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. Here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Carolla Digital. Download now at adamcarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Tweezers.
Tweezers.
Ham sandwich.
Ham what?
Sandwich. I was going to eat lunch when I got my oil changed earlier, but Take 5 is so fast I didn't have time.
But sir, you can't eat during surgery.
One bite won't hurt. Whoops. Napkin.
Napkin!
At Take 5, your oil change is faster than you think. Take 5, the stay-in-your-car 10-minute oil change.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it! Good sport!
The Podcast One Sports Network presents...
Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Reminder, make sure you're checking out Dave's of Thunder wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We're cooking with gas at this point, but speaking of gas, I hope to have some filled with my belly as I sit there and drink beer and eat food and watch football all through this weekend. Ace, before we get to that, though, you didn't answer my question from yesterday. Who do you think spends the most time? Just go ahead. Hypothesize. Somebody's going to ever, probably going to ever do the work.
I think Laxamana. I have a fan. He's Filipino, and it's a hot, humid, and sticky nation. You know what I mean? So I think there's more of a propensity.
They're freer with their bodies in most parts of the world than we are in the U.S. of A.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that kind of makes sense. I don't think Bald's probably a nude guy. He likes himself, but I don't think... Here's the question.
Kalen lives at home, so I'm going to go with no.
Kalen, though, has been emotionally traumatized. As we've discussed before, his father, Michael Biehn, of course, the star of the hero of the Terminator, saves Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor. He had to watch his father pretend do it with Linda Hamilton. That's got to be weird to watch your father fake make his love on a beautiful actress. That would mess with your head a little bit. Maybe he is a nude guy as a result. I don't know.
Imagine living with Michael Biehn. Like is Kalen living at home now?
He is indeed.
So he's gone from we spilt the same blood and the same mud to I see my son jizz and take a whiz all on the same Tuesday.
Hey, so he might be a nude guy. Let's do the celebrity edition. Mm-hmm. Who of your celebrity friends spends more time in the nude at his home? Dr. Drew or Jimmy Kimmel? Go.
Well, I'll say Jimmy because one time I was playing cards up at my house, and it was the time – look, people talk about, you know, greatest moments of your life, birth of your twins or winning the Celebrity Grand Prix Toyota race or something like that. They're up there. Mm-hmm. They're top 20. But driving my BMW M3 off of a tow truck, way up there. And then
that's good.
And then farting into a coffee can cylinder and getting Jimmy to inhale it. Those are the best moments of my life in terms of things I'll remember on my deathbed. Okay, are we talking about me? Because if you're asking me, if I'm asking me,
this guy has to get his own feature film already.
Okay,
she's my favorite character.
If I'm asking me, I will say this: we were playing cards at my house. And it was me and Jimmy and like Kevin of Kevin and Bean and maybe a couple of Cleto or some kind of guys like that. And it was back when you had more innocent time, just poker night. You know,
What was that weird phase where everybody got into poker for like 2 years?
Poker night.
But anyway,
Daniel was probably there, and everyone just bring their mason jar full of quarters and bills and whatever, and we'll just have a dollar ante poker night or whatever. And we're just up at my house, and people like drinking beer and smoking cigars and stuff. And it was this weird freedom because I'd always had roommates, and I'd always had apartments and roommates and lived in very small houses with my parents, like a service porch, and, you know, nothing was going on at the Coral House. It wasn't like, well, I could steal away to the basement and lose my virginity or something, or go out to the pool house and drink some vodka or something. There was no pool. There was no basement. It was like, you know, 900 square feet of nothingness, and my parents never went on vacation, never went to an event, never left the house. So it was like, I had this moment in my life, and, you know, now I got kids and a wife and the mortgage, and, you know, the bloom is off the rose. But there was this time when I'd been in show business for like 10 minutes, and I found myself living in a house up in the Hollywood Hills, and you remember the house.
Oh, yeah, it was a great house.
I had a beautiful view, and the Hollywood sign was behind me, and it was a beautiful house with, like, vaulted ceilings, and I was just living there alone, like going, oh, my God, I have a car. It's got air conditioning in it. This is crazy, a garage, and I could have a poker night, invite friends over, and we could smoke cigars, and no one tells, like, turn the stereo down, or what are you doing with that, or put those chips away, or something, you know, whatever.
This old man John Cryer around the corner wanted the bellyache about it.
He lived right beneath me with his new wife at the time. And so Jimmy was there, and we're all playing poker, and at some point Jimmy said, it was hot, must have been during the summer months, and I had, like, the window open or something. And it's during the summer months. And like at some point, Jimmy said, I'm going to get more chips and dip or something. He got up and like, you know, deal me out of this hand. And he got up and left. And then about 2 minutes later, an absolutely completely naked Jimmy Kimmel just dove through the window that was open, completely naked, just utterly naked, just boom, like, wang flying everywhere. Because he just thought it would be a good idea to, like, excuse himself, get completely and utterly naked, then go outside and then just burst through this open window. It was like a lower window, so it wasn't that high off the ground, and he just dove through it completely naked.
America's sweetheart, Jimmy Kimmel.
That was awesome. And then, but then later on that night, when we were left behind, like the gay old couple, you know, everyone had packed it in. It was him. He was always very considerate, so he was helping me clean.
4 hours later, Jimmy, might want to put the bits over.
Put the underpants on, at least. So we were standing at my sink, and Jimmy was standing at my sink. I mean, I had a corner sink in my kitchen. It was kind of a weird configuration, but he was just in the corner, and he was just dutifully, like, rinsing out the ashtrays and cleaning the guacamole bowl and all that, you know, doing what Jimmy always does. Always, right. I'm not leaving. I got to clean. Not leaving, he's cleaning, and that's when I came up, and I had that Trader Joe's cylinder of whole bean coffee, then a big picture of a toucan on it or something, Colombian roast, Sumatra, whatever. And it had like two beans rattling around on the bottom. It was a perfect cylinder. And he's there with his back kind of to me. And we're talking. I'm bussing dishes or whatever. And I just said, pulled the lid off the can, took the can. It's a cylinder. I put it hard against my ass and even turned it like half a turn just to get the vapor lock going. And I just let a huge fart go in it. Like the eating guacamole and three, you know, seven layer dip, you know, chips and Mexican food on it. The beer, you know, just and I pop the cap on it. I go, Jimmy, you ever smell fresh roasted Sumatran beans? And he pulled the cap off, and he did the move you do when you smell coffee, where there's like a few beans at the bottom of the can. He just buried his face in it. And he sucked it all in. Like he just went, and he pulled his head away. Best moment of my life. Again, talking about the birth of the twins, not even close. The look, not moments later when he was trying to blow all the fart out of his lungs and jumping up and down. Just a moment. Just a look of confusion. Like, what? What just happened? Look, because you know in your brain when you think the orange juice container is orange juice, but it's milk and you're freak, like, it's a weird, like, there's a moment of what's happening before the terror or the rage or whatever kicks in. That moment, that one moment of sheer and utter confusion. I live for those kind of moments.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I thought that the worst assault in the kitchen was when Rutger Hauer tries to sneak up on what he thinks is a woman, but he turns around and it's Sly Stallone wearing a wig, and then he gives it to Hauer. But this trumps that.
Much better. All right, I'll tell you what's better than that. BetOnline.ag. College football, NFL football, greatest time of the year has arrived. Don't wait. Make your online wagers. Do it today. Head to betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code podcast1. That's podcast and the number one, or you could spell it out if you like. Either way, it's going to work. You receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's podcast one for 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, exclusive partner of podcast one. Sportsnet, whether you love college football or you love NFL, or how about this? You love both. BetOnline.ag has it all, and you can get on the action, and you can do it today. Sign up today. BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 for a 50% bonus. When you sign up, take advantage of this great deal. BetOnline.ag.
All right. See, I think Dr. Drew would be the more prominent nudist. But either way, I'll take your opinion. All right. We'll be back with more hot sports talk for you next week. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports. Good sports out. Good sports.
From Friday night football to the county fair, from picnics in the park to hometown parades, from big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.